Amy. Well, thanks, everybody. This is the November 10th. Wait, is this? No, that's the wrong meeting agenda. I'm going to move right here to the other one. This is the November 14th meeting of the Yolo County Transportation District Board of Directors. Welcome to you all. And we will open that agenda. I'm sorry, folks. I'm at another location and I'm having a little bit of trouble with my various devices, but in just a second, I'll have this ready to go.
Maybe Director Ledesma can tell us about his background.
Oh, that would be nice. Chris, what do you got behind you?
You guys have been around, know what that was supposed to be, and still could be and will be. I'm leaving it to the very capable hands of Tom and Lucas to help carry the torch for it going forward.
Very good.
That's the streetcar project, an early rendering of it. So.
Yep. Going across the Tower Bridge.
That's it.
Okay.
Very cool, Chris.
Let's go ahead. So this is the November 14th meeting. Mimi, would you please call roll and determine the quorum?
Yes. Yolo County?
Here.
City of Woodland?
Here.
City of Davis?
I am here.
City of West Sacramento?
Here.
City of Winters?
Here.
We have UC Davis representative?
Here, yes.
And Caltrans representative?
Here.
We have quorum.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. This is a meeting that one of the items on our consent agenda is to approve the agenda. Another is to approve us conducting a hybrid meeting pursuant to the relevant statutes. And there are many opportunities for people to comment, to share the views of the public with us tonight. We will have a consent agenda. We'll hear comments on that if anyone's interested. And we'll also have several items on a regular calendar where there'll be opportunity for public comment. But right now we will turn to public comment on matters on the consent agenda or items not on the agenda, but within the purview of Yolo County Transportation District. And as you know, if you're here with us tonight, we don't have an opportunity to comment or discuss matters that are presented in public comment because they're not available to others and because it's against the law. So we're now turning to public comment. Are there any people present or online who would like to address us?
We do have one public comment.
All right. Very good. I see that's Mr. Hirsch.
Yes.
Alan, would you like to address us within 3 minutes, please? I think you can unmute yourself now, Alan. We can. You're in the.
I'm sorry, Don. I didn't hear the last 10 seconds because with those transitioning into the room here. Thank you for the privilege of talking.
You have about 3 minutes, Alan. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Last meeting, you passed a resolution about the goals of the widening of I-80, and you mentioned reducing congestion. If you remember at the ITS presentation, the University of Davis Institution of Transportation presented something to you last January. They said basically with induced demand, you will never reduce congestion by widening freeways. Within 10 years guaranteed, sometimes as quickly as 18 months, you fill up the capacity. You will not reduce congestion. So putting that as a goal is promising something to the public that is science says you cannot attain. All you can do is let people pay to opt out. So you're letting the rich people pay to opt out. The people who would travel to Tahoe have a second home, largely, I would guess. Or maybe you can offer a little contribution to the poorest 3 or 5 or 8%, like was done in San Mateo County. We're not going to build our way out of congestion here. You need to build alternate means of getting people there. Any capacity you add, you facilitate with tolls, is just adding to the greenhouse gases. And we have a crisis here. This is not just a nice to have. This is a crisis. So I'm concerned that you're basically promising the public that we'll reduce congestion. The second comment I have to say is basically you continue to have an ad hoc committee to meet on the I-80 widening. You've now met for a year now. You've talked about making this permanent with a toll authority. This is no longer an ad hoc committee and should be meeting under the auspices of the Brown Act. They should be public meetings with public minutes and public involvement. Please don't mess up this project by causing this to be done in an illegal fashion by violation of the Brown Act. This should be done in a public fashion so it's done felt viewed as legitimately. Please do this. This is a very difficult project. I hope you'll basically do it. We'll do it in the way that's consistent with the Brown Act and consistent with the science around widening freeways. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Alan. Are there any other persons who'd like to address us in public comment?
There are no further public comments.
All right. Thank you. Autumn, we're now to the consent agenda. Is there anything that you would like to remove from the consent calendar?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Colleagues, are there any members of the board who would like to remove anything from consent agenda for further discussion? If not, would one of you like to make a motion to approve the consent calendar as presented?
So moved, Mr. Chair. Stallard.
Thank you, Tom. Is there a second?
Lauren, my second.
Okay, thank you. I heard Stallard make the motion and Director Lauren seconded it. To approve the consent calendar, item 3A through G. Mimi, would you call the roll, please?
Yes. Yolo County?
Aye.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passed.
City of Davis, so votes aye.
City of Davis, I'm sorry.
How could we forget? Thank you very much, everyone. So that brings us to item 4, administrative reports. And the first topic under administrative reports is board member reports. And I think, of course, one of the things that we have to address this evening is the departure of Mr. Ledesma. We understand, Director Ledesma, that this is your final meeting with us. And That's certainly a milestone in the history of the Yolo County Transportation District Board. I'd like to turn to Mr. Stallard and ask if he would like to make any comment about this momentous occasion.
While we do this, why don't we go back to the pictures of the board members?
Thank you, Tom.
All I can say is I deeply value Chris's point of view on every issue on which he wishes to speak. Unlike some of us, he doesn't feel a need to speak on every issue. But when he does, it's always been with something very worthwhile and worth really taking to heart. There was a time when, of course, Woodland wasn't sufficiently present. Chris, I want to thank you and your colleagues during that time for carrying the water for Woodland as well as your own jurisdictions. I think you did a great job pressing for YOLO Go and defining the role of the organization to help it evolve to what it's become today is truly part of your substantial legacy. I know they're going to miss you deeply and on the West Sacramento Council. I will miss you as a very reasonable and thoughtful voice at Yolo County Transportation District. I'm truly sorry that you're leaving public service. I hope you'll find another place to engage at some point in time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom. Jesse, do you have anything you'd like to mention or comment on?
Wow, Tom really said it all. But I do want to echo that, you know, you carried the weight, you carried the torch for Woodland, but you also did for Winters when my predecessor's health was failing and it was hard to get to meetings. You said, let's bring somebody in that can attend and then, you know, really talk to me about transportation and the values. And I became a lover of transportation, with, your guidance. So I really appreciate, your wisdom and serving alongside you on, YCTD. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. Matt Dulcich, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Thank you. I would just kind of add, to Chris, attending these meetings is one thing, but his long hours of extra work were really appreciated. And I think it was issue after issue where the need was off, outside of the cycle of a regular meeting. and the need to do additional research or work with colleagues. And it was, I think, tremendous public service. So that's one thing is the long hours. And then the other would be, Chris, for the rigor and really scrutiny that you would always put into issues, and then your clarity of expressing those and getting our group to discuss them and figure out a long-term strategy. So, Chris, thank you.
Thank you. Alex, Padilla, do you have anything?
I just wanted to concur with everyone, what everyone has said, and just thank Chris for all of your hard work dedicated to this board.
Thanks, Alex. Lucas, do you have anything?
Yes, I do. A couple quick points. One, I mean, I'm so grateful, Chris, to have served for you since 2014. We've been fortunate to serve in two cycles as chair and vice chair, and so as a sort of real team effort. And so that is something that I really have been so grateful to serve side by side with you. And you're such a strong thought partner. Both on this board, but also obviously was also fortunate to serve with you for a bunch of years on the Yale Habitat Conservancy kind of concurrently. And when, frankly, there was need to sort of shake things up a bit at both agencies. And so really have very much appreciated your sort of steadfast determination and consistency as we've moved forward from, you know, we had a there was a real need for new leadership at this agency, staff level, and then that's something we've been able to see through. And so I really am so grateful for you and the opportunity to partner with you on this agency's board, but on many others, and just, you know, so you're dedicated to your own community and to the region, and so appreciate your service and look forward to our continued friendship years ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Lucas. And Chris, we've shared some of these thoughts in other settings already in the past few weeks. And I know you're going to I'm kind of the same boat. Every meeting we go to might be the last of that particular series. You have been a key partner that I've appreciated on regional bodies from the beginning. I think our terms coincide, and we've had some long conversations about this agency and about others at crisis moments. And I think these are the invisible, but very, very, very important and critical activities that local elected officials are involved in. You joined, I think your first meeting of this board as a member was March of 2014, and you were appointed vice chair in April of 2014. You were a quick learner, apparently, and you moved right in. And you were appointed chair again in 2019, and you've been a valuable member of every part of our creative work together with this board throughout that period of time. You've served as a member of the ad hoc committee for the YOLO 80 Managed Lane efforts, and it was essential that your perspective and your awareness of the needs of your community have been a part of the discussions of that project. You've been so active in the innovative transit arena in West Sacramento and as it affects the rest of the region, both with the streetcar and with the microtransit service that you've been a key participant in implementing that VO system in West Sacramento. Our dialogue, our conversations here at this board, you've been consistent in your focus on financial sustainability, long-range financial planning, making sure that we're not simply looking at the short-term impacts of our decision-making, but how they can last well beyond our tenure. You've worked on establishing an operating reserve. You've led our efforts in strategic planning. You've made sure that the work that we do together serves the localities and the jurisdictions that are member agencies. In short, you've been a responsible steward of the purpose and mission of this agency all these years. And you've done all that with a smile and a cheerfulness and a deep intellect and courtesy and respect for all of your colleagues. I really appreciate serving with you, Chris, and I wish you well in the next set of endeavors, because I know they're exciting, equally exciting, and I wish you the best there. So thank you, Director Ledesma, for your service to this agency. And you don't have an opportunity for equal time because I'm chair. But if
well,
you have
I'm sure question. That's the case, but I really thank you, Mr. Chair, Don, and to all of you. I'm really touched and probably a little emotional at the moment. I don't think I was rightly prepared to kind of walk into certainly the nice words and certainly Lucas's backdrop of, I'm trying to figure out what exactly that is, but it looks like a terrific place to be at. And, I really, a couple of things, your words really meant a lot, each of you. And I think at the beginning of the year, when I started to think that this might be the outcome of the year, I was starting to hint at it by how do we preserve the values of this group? So they are passed on to the next boards and the folks. And, because this board is, I'm really proud to be on this particular board. And it's very thoughtful people, with passion, for their constituents and what I've learned and loved about transportation and transit mobility is how it can be a great equalizer in people's lives. And, all of you, in your own way, Jesse coming on when you stepped in on our vision and values strategic planning session a few years ago that we're amending tonight. Now, I'll get to that in a second, but you stepped in ably and learned and were willing to add your voice, which was welcome at the time. And Matt, you've been just a really great steward for UC Davis and helping us move forward. Tom, your voice was welcome in Woodland. You're right. We weren't ably represented. I'm glad you stepped in and helped. And Woodland has a soft spot in my heart, if you didn't know that, because my mom grew up in Woodland and had family there. So it was always somewhere I grew up there too. It was great. I was happy to help represent Woodland. My good friend Lucas, thank you for your partnership. This is not goodbye to any of you. It's just certainly like I've enjoyed the partnership of this board. And Lucas, you've been a terrific voice here. And I know you've carried that on and, you work at SACOG and just you're becoming an amazing voice in the region and you'll be great at the supervisor role. I can't wait to see all the great things you do next. And Don, chair, you and I have started in this, you're served a lot of bodies together. And just appreciate, I apologize to you that I wasn't able to make your event this past week and you're rightly shown in the spotlight. And if I were there, I'd talk about just the experience that you get. Certain times you get foxhole experiences with people where you have to dig in and take bullets. And the Habitat Conservancy was one that you and Lucas and I had to go through. And I appreciated your stewardship at that point. And frankly, to be, partnering with you on that and to make the transformation here. To where Autumn and the team that's here in staff, it's been an amazing transformation that we've been able to make. And I know that nothing but good work is ahead. And to, Autumn and Hope and the team at USTD, I wish you all well. I appreciate all that you've done and the changes you've been able to affect. I love the direction that Yellow Bus is going and. If I played some small part in that, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the work you're doing. I'm proud of the work all of you are doing. And, any way I could be of help going forward, I will. And I'm keeping that up on purpose because that won't leave sort of my sights as an advocacy point. Being the first point of rail, into Yolo County is an important thing that I hope you all can help advocate for as well going forward. In short, I really wanted to say that Don, I appreciate your word, particularly about, when I started this crazy business 12 years ago, if I ever thought I could be known as a responsible steward and somebody called me that, I would have been, that's all I could hope to be. So, I appreciate that. And, I'll stop talking now because we have work to do still on one last meeting, but I just want to say thank you to you all. This is an amazing group of people and you're doing amazing things. And for those that will be on YCTD, especially Autumn and the team, carry forward because this group really brought about some amazing change. And I think the opportunity is there for you to do great things and, just wish you all well. And I guess I'm not far away if you ever need anything, but it's just certainly been a privilege, honor to serve with all of you. So thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Yes, good. And Autumn, I shortcutted staff comment, and I apologize for that, but if you would like to, we'll move to your next item on the report, but if you'd like to, you or Hope would like to make any other comments, please feel free.
Well, very good, Mr. Chair. I will take that opportunity, and maybe I'll just start out my executive director's report by just appreciating Chris's incredible leadership over this last year. And I think, you know, two things really stand out for me when I think back about just the, you know, working with you over the last year. One is just, you know, knowing how much you had juggling in the way that you really came through every time when we needed you on the difficult conversations with Caltrans on the YOLO 80 managed lanes, and the clarity and the, you know, the perspective that you brought to that, was just really essential. And I was so, so grateful to be standing behind you at various points in those conversations. And the other thing was, during the budget conversations last spring, my first budget, and Leo's first budget here, you really helped us both, and Leo and I have talked about it. You really helped us clarify, where we need to go in terms of understanding our long-term trajectory. And so, you know, one of the first item in our work plan for next year is to do strategic planning. And that was really catalyzed by the comments and the feedback that you shared to help me really understand, oh, this is where we need to go. And I appreciate you so much for, you know, for setting us on that path. Yeah. And I will definitely be calling.
Let's just, if you would Hope like to make a comment, she's free if you would like to.
I'm never good in these moments. You build relationships and partnerships through this role as counsel to the district. And Director Ledesma, I've certainly always appreciated working with you and your quick responses and being willing to adjust your schedule, and how responsive you were during COVID in those challenging times. So just thank you so much, and we'll miss you.
Thank you. All right. Love Fest is over, Mr. Ledesma. But now we'll go back to your admonition to get to work. Thank you.
Very good. Well, I will proceed with the executive director's report. I know we're a little bit out of order, but I'll do the executive director's report and also report on the most recent business of the ad hoc committee. And then we can go to Mr. Klein for the general manager report. So, right. I just want to highlight a couple things to highlight from the last executive director's report. We saw a surge in ridership on the Route 42 last month that just really, I think, bears highlighting. Ridership was 38% higher than it was in September, but perhaps more telling, it was 47% higher than the same time last year. So looking at October 22 versus October 21, we saw a 47% increase, and that's 10,000 trips. And that's with the limited improvements, you know, in terms of increasing the frequencies and changing the routing, you know, because we haven't even been able to roll them all out because of the driver shortage. So I think it's very encouraging, and really is a testament to the work of this board and the staff before I came on, in terms of envisioning the future of the Route 42. And you're going to hear from Eric about some additional service planning that we're doing and improvements we're hoping to make going forward. But I just, you know, it's an extraordinary result to see a 47% increase in transit ridership. And it's only 1 month of data, and we'll see how, you know, the months, unfold. But I just wanted to underscore that. We also saw continued month over month growth in our microtransit and paratransit ridership. It is really squeezing our capacity. We are in the midst of purchasing more small vehicles to expand our fleet, both to accommodate the existing demand as well as, of course, launch our Woodland demand. At this point, we're looking at a February to April timeframe where we think we'll have most, if not all, of the vehicles delivered and be able to get them into service. And then lastly, Director Ledesma is not the only one we're saying goodbye to tonight. Both our beloved board clerk Mimi and senior planner Kristen Mazur are both moving on. We're really sorry to see them go. Both have made their mark on this agency. And I just especially want to thank Mimi tonight for all of her incredible, unwavering service and dedication to this board through what has been a very difficult year for her personally. I'm so sad that she's leaving, but I also really just wish her all the best. And she's so dedicated that she even helped us find her replacement and postponed taking her new job until she found the right person and was going to have an opportunity to train her. And I understand that that person is actually listening in tonight. And I look forward, she is fantastic, and I look forward to introducing you to her at our next meeting. But I just want to take a moment to appreciate you. And so with that, I will turn to the ad hoc committee report on the YOLO 80 managed lanes, so I don't embarrass her any further. And just say that the ad hoc committee has met once since our last meeting to focus that conversation was focused on the priorities for the next phase of work, as well as the future of the committee itself. And so staff is working on kind of developing some recommendations based on that conversation that will be coming to the board in January, to talk about kind of what is the next phase of work. In the meantime, we are continuing to work with our partners at Caltrans District 3 on our application for the SB1 funding that is going to be due to the CTC December 1st. So that's my report on that. And with that, I believe I can turn it over to Mr. Klein to give the TransDev report.
Good evening. I'm sorry, I don't have any video this evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yes, we can.
I'm having technical difficulties this evening. Sorry. Well, on our side, there's been a lot of moving parts. We do some internal changes with staff. We have a new safety and training manager that's just great. He's got a lot of experience. He's from TSA, actually, over 20 years at TSA. So he's actually a trainer for local. We had a meeting a while back, and the guys came, and I asked him, by the way, do you know so-and-so? And they all looked at each other and said, of course we do. He trained us all. They have very good things to say about him, and he's been with us now in another role since December 27th. And so just getting him ready. He's hit the ground running. We have some great things coming into training that we're hoping to be able to expand classes, and we're looking in the next couple weeks to have some larger classes coming. But currently right now, we're still holding strong with the number that we had. We have two more drivers finishing up their licensing this week. And so in about another week and a half, they'll be out to Revenue Service or so. And then next week, another one finishing their licensing. So we'll have about probably another 2 weeks after that, she'll be out into Revenue Service as well. So we're still heading towards positive numbers. But like I said, we're hoping anywhere about 2 weeks from now to start a class with probably between 10 to 15, if everything goes right.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Very good. Are there any questions of Mr. Klein? Okay. I don't see any questions or hear any. Autumn? Oh, Lucas, did you have something?
Well, yeah, I think it falls here. A quick question. See, it's probably certainly for a discussion in a future board meeting, but we had received a couple of public communications with regard to sort of comments around the new 42 routing, especially as it relates to all of the stops that were moved in South Davis. And we all are aware of that, and we knew that was coming, and we all approved it. But I think it's still a bit of a surprise to regular riders that were used to either riding previously the 44 express bus service that was cut during the pandemic, and now the 42 that no longer stops and in South Davis at all. So I definitely just wanted to, I think, raise it in mostly in, I think, you know, they're probably, I've heard it now, not just from sort of riders and such, but I'm now hearing it, you know, from some of my colleagues in the city council as well. So I mean, just to raise that as a item around, you know, while I'm very, very excited to see the drastic increase in ridership in the retooled 42A, 42B route, I definitely, you know, we have cut service to a part of the county that we previously served with several routes. So I just want to sort of raise that as an item that I think might be deserving of a future discussion. Thank you. And there may be some, you know, comments from staff now, but I definitely appreciate the possibility of a future discussion on the item. Thank you.
That sounds like it is probably a good item for a future agenda. Honestly, I think the change happens and people experience it. And I think you probably want to give it a little time to see how it sorts out and then do an reassessment of how effective and whether you're meeting the objectives and whether there's a way to address the impacts that individuals are experiencing. Don't question. I don't doubt the impacts. They are clear, but if there's a way to address them, as a mid-course, that might be good. But it sounds like an item for a future agenda, perhaps an update in December on status, and then perhaps a more complete assessment after a period of time.
That all sounds good. I would say, I guess, one other quick point, which is that are those emails being responded to by someone?
Yes, I can definitely answer that question. Absolutely. We are responding to every email that we receive, either Eric or myself. I agree it would be good to do an update on it. And I will just say that the impacts to South Davis, and I apologize, Mr. Chair, I don't want to go too far into this, but the impacts to South Davis, the service that we had served a very specific section of South Davis. It was the easternmost section of South Davis. By running the Route 42 down Fifth Street, where we have stops at the Dave Pelz overcrossing and at Poleline and Fifth, both of which are about 1,000 feet from Cowell Boulevard in South Davis, we actually have better access for people in those parts of South Davis. But I think that the freeway itself does pose a real barrier, you know, physical as well as psychological. And, you know, depending on how close you are to one of those overcrossings, it could be better, but it also could be worse. So I think the picture is more complicated when it comes to South Davis versus saying we've just simply eliminated service in South Davis, but absolutely want to, say that we are taking those comments very seriously and responding to each and every one, and definitely open to having conversations with this board about kind of other ways that we could better support the travel needs in South Davis.
And so perhaps a follow-up in December.
Maybe even push it off a month or two so that we can get, you know, two or three good. I'd like to get at least 3 or 4 good months of information so that we can come back to the board with meaningful grouping of information. I also want to piggyback on what Autumn said, Lucas, and say if you do have people who are contacting you, it'd be great to get to talk to them as a staff member myself. So please feel free to share my information with the general public, because we're always looking to hear from writers and from the members of the general public about stuff like this. So Autumn's absolutely right. We have been getting back to people about ones that we hear, but I know that there's been a conversation going on, for example, on the My Neighborhood. My mother-in-law brought it up to my attention. So it's really good to get to have a good conversation and dialogue with them. Davis residents.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I think Autumn, we'll leave it to you on the best timing for bringing back a robust and full discussion. Okay. Thank you, Lucas. And meanwhile, of course, we will be responding to the individuals who brought the issue forward. Autumn, did you have additional points on your oral report and then the CAC, I-80 lane, the various pieces, anything further?
Nothing further from me.
Okay. Anybody want to raise any questions about any of the topics listed? I don't see anyone, and I don't see any requests for public comment. So we'll move to item 5.
Very good. Mimi, if you would start the screen share. This is I really have to say I really appreciated the conversation that we had last month about this. This is the update to our vision, values, and priorities statement. And our staff recommendation is to review the draft update that we've prepared, amended as needed, And if it's ready for approval tonight, approve it. Otherwise, you know, send us back to do more work on it. Next slide. So we did this as a line item, and I'll just, you know, you can read what's on the slide. I'll just, as we kind of go through, I'll just say a little bit about the what we heard from you at the last meeting and what we've tried to reflect here. We heard a lot about the vision statement. You know, it's actually one of the things we heard less about than some of the other pieces. That broadly, we thought this was a, you know, it kind of captured some of the values. And so this was really meant to just kind of, this was me kind of color commentary rewriting it to make it sound pretty, to be honest. But we could move on to the next slide. Because where we really, I think, got into the substance was in these next two areas. So our core values. So our core values describe our behaviors and help us to live out our vision. And so we have this kind of rather long list, and we heard from you all that, that both there was a question about, you know, are these in order of priority, and you know, what does it say about our priorities if we think of it that way, and how do we and also how do we think about not environmental sustainability but also resilience, as you know, that we really need to be doing both and to be thinking broadly about stewardship and sustainability and how really everything that we do should be oriented that way. So we came up with we tried to just turn them all into full sentences, first of all, and the first one is really focused on kind of how we work, and that we really, I think, as a team, both this board and staff really prioritize listening, and being innovative and just seeing what we can do better and not just being satisfied with continuing to do the same thing every day. Because we've always done it this way, but really thinking about, you know, how are things evolving and how can we be continuously, you know, responding to the changes around us? Transparency and accountability is something this board has talked about quite a bit. And I know that's something that is important to all of us and it's important to our partners. And so that's kind of the focus of the second bullet. Prioritizing the needs and voices of marginalized communities and populations. This again, just really going back to what are our core values here. And this is something that we've spoken about quite a bit. We wanted to get more specific about it here. And then lastly, our commitment to environmental sustainability and resilience. Next slide. In terms of district-wide priorities, you know, this is an area where we're starting to sort of take a step into strategic planning. And, you know, I think that's a much longer conversation. But so what I tried to do here is capture kind of broad priorities that I think align with the values that we've articulated. And so I focused on three. The first is about transit service and making our transit service faster, more convenient, and reliable. The second is really about how we partner, and who we partner with in order to address the current and evolving mobility needs of our county. And then lastly, the third and final bullet is really about the kind of the part of our statutory mandate that has, not yet really come to fruition, which is around, can we help to coordinate, plan, and fundraise so that we are, all of Yolo County is speaking with one voice around priority transportation projects and programs in order to hopefully raise all boats. And so that all of the jurisdictions in Yolo County are able to be more successful and effective in delivering the projects that we need at a countywide level. So that's really what the third bullet is kind of oriented towards, is that kind of programming and kind of project delivery piece. And so that's all. I think we can, go back to that last, or turn off the slideshow. That's fine. And with that, I would just appreciate, hearing any feedback that you all may have.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say that I think it looks really good. I think it's nice and clear and direct and, doesn't require, a second reading in order to get it. So thank you for the job you've done, Autumn.
Thank you, Tom. Are there other comments or questions? Jesse?
Thank you for recognizing me. I just wanted to say that going back to what Director Ledesma said about
How do we preserve the values of this board? I think the way that the district priorities are written, they're written in a parallel way to the values of this board. And I think it helps sustain, the work that we've done. So I'm very happy with what has happened here. And I think that it bodes well for the future of who's ever on this, you know, whoever is seated on this board to know what they're supposed to be doing. Thanks. That makes sense, I hope.
Very good. Other comments?
Just to say, I hinted at it earlier, but yeah, I do like the changes there, especially on the district-wide priorities, much more active voice about the work the board will be doing going forward in the agency. So I do like the direction. Thank you.
And same from my perspective, Chair Saylor. I just affirm the same thing. And I know this board likes to look at things and try to massage them. And to Autumn, I'd say this one, I don't see anything to work on. It looks great. Yeah, thank you.
Lucas, I have a comment. Do you have something you'd like to say?
I was just going to say ditto to all the comments thus far.
Autumn, would you bring the slide up that has kind of get back to the slides for just a second? I do have one topic I want to bring up. The one slide right before this one, I think it is. This one. This one here. This is the one. So that number one, I looked through the various topics in the, both in the values pieces and the priorities pieces. And I think we can track most of the topics that we've had in earlier versions about equity is more operationalized and environmental sustainability is more operationalized in the language here. So I think we've captured most of the points in a more action oriented, clear phrasing. But this first sentence here, I do have a quibble, and one of the things we've lost is safety. And so I think that I would suggest that this sentence, and the other thing is we're in this sentence, we're comparing some future state to some present or past state. So my suggestion is that we rephrase this one phrase, this one sentence to read, provide transit service that is safe, fast, convenient, and reliable. And I think adding safe is wise because any transit system that doesn't have safety as one of its priorities is probably missing the boat. And I think it's hard to operationalize more convenient and reliable and faster because you have to compare it to some base. And so that'd be my only suggestion here would be to have this be safe, fast, convenient, and reliable. How does that sound to you?
I think that sounds right. I think you're absolutely right that safety is super important and should be in there.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Do we, and colleagues, if you think I'm just out to lunch, then I know you'll tell me later or maybe even now. But I think that's one change that completes the package from my perspective. Is there any public comment on this topic?
There is one public comment from Mr. Hirsch.
Okay, Alan, would you go ahead and share your thoughts in the 3 minutes? Can you hear us, Alan?
Thank you very much for letting me comment. I appreciate adding safety, but what type of safety are we concerned about? Is there crime aboard the bus? Are there threats aboard the bus? If so, we should be tracking those. I'm not aware of that. Is it accidents? So if safety is super important, if it's New York City, I'd concern, but I don't understand what that's coming from, but I don't know. I don't think it's fine to add. You mentioned in your priorities having a transit service, but one of our goals, our vision is sustainability, which means mode shift. We know we need to reduce our single occupancy driving by 30%. And if we don't call that out as one of the goals of this agency, I don't know who's going to take that on in this county. And if that's environmental sustainability and that's resilience, we should be calling that out as a priority. if we think climate change is a priority and really is a crisis. I think that should be called out explicitly. We need a mode shift. If you don't call that out, then it's not going to happen. It's not a priority. It's just better bus service and not really a mode shift. And also, we're multimodal. Should we be calling out the other modes in terms of the mode shift or with car driving by cars? If we really are innovative, we need to have a mode shift called out in this visions document, if that's what you mean in terms of environmental sustainability. I hope these comments are helpful. I know your discussion is finished. I'm the last one to comment here. So for what it's worth, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Alan. Colleagues, I don't see any other public comment. Are we ready to make a motion that I would hope includes the additional comment that I made?
I'll go ahead and make the motion with your addition change.
Is there a second?
Second. Yeah.
Okay, so we have a motion by Ledesma and a second by Frerichs with the modification in the one sentence as noted. Autumn, is the motion clear? All right.
So, yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So Mimi, go ahead and call the roll, please.
Okay. Yolo County?
Aye.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
Okay, motion passed.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Now we'll move to item 6.
Well, very good. This is me again on this one. So we have a big agenda tonight, and I thank you all for your attention. So this item is our update to our one-year goals and 6 and 12 month milestones. So you'll remember that last October we adopted a set of one-year goals and 3, 6, and 12 month milestones. It's now been a year, so we've been working as a team to update those for the year ahead. And I won't go through all 15 pages in detail, but I just wanted to touch on each of the 11 high-level goals. So if you can go to the next slide, maybe we'll touch on each. So the first is to chart the long-term trajectory of Yolo County Transportation District. I alluded to this earlier. This is really about who do we want to be 10 years from now. This is our strategic planning process. So there's one thing within this goal, and that is to do a strategic plan. And in the staff report, we've detailed kind of what that entails, and welcome your feedback on any of that. But you know, we'll be looking at that process in earnest, really starting in January. Next slide. The second priority is to advance equitable and sustainable implementation of the Yolo 80 Managed Lanes project. Obviously, something we've talked about quite a bit, and we've detailed in the work plan some of the key pieces, like successful completion of the environmental review process, establishing a tolling authority to direct operations of the new managed lane and oversight of toll revenue, fundraising to close the gap and move forward with construction of phase one, et cetera. So these are all the key pieces here. Next slide. Our next goal is to improve our fixed route transit service, and this includes a host of different items, including implementation of the new Route 42 service, getting out of the County Fair Mall and hopefully to a new transit center in downtown Woodland, as well as a number of it's really time to start thinking again about the next kind of phase of improvements to transit, and so with our short-range transit plan. Next slide. Goal 4 is our district-wide service planning and policies for microtransit. So there's, of course, the launch of our new microtransit service and implementation of our new RideCo handheld app, as well as rebranding and growing the fleet to sustain the growth in our microtransit service. Number 5 is to strengthen transit operations and internal coordination. So this is very, we continue to prioritize driver recruitment. We're also looking at how do we transition to our zero emission fleet in a way that's, make sure that our service is sustainable and consistent with our goals of, as much as possible, reducing our carbon emissions. And, the next goal, number 6, is around expanding our multimodal planning and programming. So this is an area that I think will really be fleshed out through our strategic planning process, right? When we talk about things like, you know, programming and establishing countywide priorities for major transportation projects. But for this year, while we're figuring that out, we'll continue to focus on the YATSE project, the YOLO Active Transportation Corridors, and the YOLO Commute, which is our transportation management association that we staff. Next slide. Improving our customer experience for transit passengers. This includes a whole host of items from expanding the use of electronic fare payments, making our fare structure more simple and straightforward and understandable, continuing to improve our customer tech tools, because the technology underpins all of the great, you know, gadgets that allow us to say exactly when the bus is going to come and how crowded it is. We just, you know, there's a lot of technological improvements that we were pretty behind the eight ball on that we want to get caught up on this year. Number eight is strengthening local partnerships and increasing community engagement. So this is really all about kind of building and deepening our relationships with community stakeholders in YOLO County. You can see here some of the highlights of the work we've done over the past year on this, but there is much more work to be done. And as part of this, we're looking forward to launching a reduced fare program for nonprofits that work with disadvantaged communities. And this is some of the early feedback that we've received, and we've been able to prioritize some of our state funding to launch a pilot program that would allow us to provide, you know, subsidized fares for the clients of our nonprofits that are helping our most vulnerable communities. Number nine is to complete our capital planning and procurements with improved tools. So we need a 10-year capital improvement plan. We don't have one currently, but we plan to get that done. And to improve our procurement tools, you know, just to have things like we don't have boilerplate procurement contracts, et cetera. We don't have a lot of the sort of standard tools in place that can allow us to sort of streamline and make sure that we're compliant in terms of doing our procurements with all of the guidance. So we're working on creating those templates and procedures this year. And then number 10, improving our grant financial planning and administration. So this is really about focused on how are we tracking our grants and making sure that, you know, we have all of our reporting is getting done, that we're making sure that we're going after and getting every single penny that we're eligible for in terms of our federal formula grants. And making sure that we, you know, stay on track with that. And then finally, 11 goal. We tried to get it down to 10, but we just couldn't get down to 10 this year, is to foster employee engagement and professional growth. So this includes things like having an employee climate survey that we do on an ongoing basis to gauge, people's, engagement, and doing that over time so we can track and see how things are going. Maintaining competitive wages, which we know is really critical. You know, we continue to have vacancies and to have difficulty filling vacancies because it is such a tough hiring climate out there, for now anyway. And looking at refreshing our internship program to make sure we're really giving our interns and building that pipeline of talent that's going to sustain us in the future. And then the last slide here is just about next steps. So we want to finalize this plan pending your feedback, and then that will form the basis of our individual work plans for the coming year. And then we do want to sync this up with our annual budget process. It's out of sync because we did this last October because I started in September, but, you know, we want to get to a place where we're doing the work plan and then doing the budget at the same time so the two are harmonized. So in order to accomplish that, we'll revisit this in spring 22. You know, to coincide and really then help us, you know, inform the annual budget process. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Wonderful. Very ambitious, obviously very ambitious work plan, very detailed. And I'm pleased to hear that this is the product of the whole team. I'm pleased to hear that the CAC had a deep, robust conversation, that they had some comments that can be considered in the time to come. Makes a lot of sense to revisit this in the springtime as a part of the budget building process, and probably to look at that point about how much of this is is trackable goals and how much of it is detailed work plans. But it is definitely a good picture, in my view, of the work ahead, and a very ambitious and robust set of goals. Colleagues, do you have questions about the materials presented? Any questions or comments from any of you before we ask for public comment?
Chair Saylor, if I could.
Yes, Matt, please.
Yeah, for goal three, Autumn, that was the update to fixed route transit, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think it's great. With COVID and all of the disruptions that happened both to YCTD and Unitrans, it might be a fresh opportunity to collaborate with Unitrans on fixed route and even some of the other items like technology, marketing, those kind of things. So I just wanted to plug that as a potential item to collaborate again and more with Unitrans. That's it.
Good comment. Others? Jesse, do you have your, yes?
I do. And first, I'm very impressed with the 11-point plan. I'm looking at number three, also the improved fixed route transportation service for transit service. And I'm kind of pairing it with growth in cities. I know speaking about Winners, we're looking at several different developments that might be happening in Winners. And although we have microtransit now, we might have fixed route in the future. And so the way that we are planning, I think, should be part of YCTD, that we should be planning in parallel for the future. And I see that as a dovetail part of number three, is the future planning. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments? Other questions? Okay. Let's see if there's public comment on the package that we have before us.
We do have one public comment from Mr. Alan Hirsch.
Okay. Well, Alan, when you're ready, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. This, like much of Autumn's work, is amazing. It tells us exactly and the public exactly what's going on and the robust, comprehensive package we're doing here. I'm very impressed. The only tweak I would say is can you put a metric on some of these things that report every month on this sort of stuff? That might be a small tweak. It may it's a bridge too far at this point, but this is an amazing document. It also tells the public activists where they can get involved and where they can make improvements, or if their concerns are being addressed somewhere under the hood, which sometimes people don't know. Thank you very much for this.
Thanks, Alan. I appreciate your comment. Okay, Autumn, anything further before we, I think we're ready to take a motion to adopt this, approve the updated one-year goals and 6 and 12-month milestones to guide the work over the coming year, with the understanding that this will be revisited in the spring as a part of the budget building process. Is that the appropriate motion? Yes?
Yes, from my perspective, yes.
Okay, thank you. Is there someone who would like to make that motion?
I would like to make that motion. I'd like to move this item as stated.
Thank you, Director Lauren.
Ledesma, a second.
Wonderful. Director Ledesma seconds. Please call the roll, Mimi.
Yolo County?
Yes.
City of Woodland? City of Woodland?
Aye.
Okay. City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
And City of Winters?
Aye.
Okay, motion passed.
Thank you, everyone. Item 7 now, the Woodland Service Area Planning Update.
Thank you, Mimi, for getting the slides up. I'll wait for it to come up. Good evening, Board, Chair Saylor. Tonight I'm here to present a quick update to what YCTD is doing with the Woodland Local Services. We have a recommendation that the board listen to this update and provide feedback on the number of questions we have. This is all around the transportation options that we're looking at implementing in the city of Woodland, which include both fixed route and microtransit service. Next slide. So YCTD is starting its public outreach for the service changes in the city of Woodland, including microtransit and fixed route. We will be, in the next weeks and months, we'll be launching a general transportation survey to get information from Woodland residents about their use of transit services. We'll also be launching a onboard survey on the routes 211 and 212. And we'll be conducting stakeholder workshops. I kind of like to think of this as a stakeholder workshop where we get feedback from all of the members of the board on what they're hoping to see and any possibilities about any ideas on service. So, and then once we get through all of that, we'll host some public workshops and discuss with the public about what they would like to see as far as transportation services in the city of Woodland. Next slide. So this all started with the Woodland Go study, which recommended service changes that included the restructuring of the routes 211 and 212. This included restoring both early and late evening trips. It also discussed the creation of a new Woodland microtransit service. We will be continuing that planning process as a lot of the Woodland Go study was completed before COVID hit, and just going ahead and making sure we get all the I's dotted and T's crossed. While we're doing this planning, we'll also be evaluating additional changes that would affect Woodland. This includes the rerouting of 42 service in Woodland and also the relocation of the transit center from County Fair Mall to downtown Woodland. All of these changes in service are part of the planning process, but may be implemented kind of in staggered mode as we get both drivers and capital improvements needed. The last slide is, next slide. This last slide is just to remind the board about what services are here in Woodland, in particular the 211 and 212, which are the local services, along with the Route 42A and 42B, which provide intercity service. Next slide. As we finish this up, I was hoping to have some hearty discussion with the board, in particular around just some of the questions that you see. We're looking at getting feedback from different community-based organizations. If there's anybody in particular, anybody can think we should talk to, we'd love to hear it either in this meeting or via email. We also have some questions about the span of service for both microtransit and fixed route service, which I think is a very important discussion to have, along with the number of days per week that both of those two services would be operating. And the last question, is just to have the discussion among the board about which is more important, service coverage. How close the bus gets to everybody's origins and destinations, or travel time, how quickly they get between point A and point B. All this is up for discussion. It doesn't have to be tonight, but I really was hoping to hear from the board on any thoughts. And that is the end of my presentation. Try to keep it quick so we can have discussion.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate that. Tom, would you like to make a beginning comment or question, given I know you've been working on this set of issues very hard?
Well, thank you, Don, and thank you, staff, for this great input. I think we're making great progress. We're basically rethinking the whole system, the relocation of the multimodal server, well, actually the transit hub from the mall to downtown would be a great plus for the community. The mall, unfortunately, is in pretty reduced circumstances at the moment. Very few stores remaining. So it's really appropriate to relocate that. The technical questions of what we should do with 211 and 212 are are really not within my personal expertise. So I think the steps the staff are taking, both to survey people and to seek other community feedback, is appropriate, because as I don't ride the services, I don't know exactly what they're doing. My wish and hope is that eventually point-to-point demand service will reduce the need for local buses. We'll see. And I'm not a transit expert, so I rely on our staff to help us make those decisions. I know those questions have been considered in West Sacramento as well, and they still have local bus lines as well as the VIA service. Let's see here. In terms of groups for feedback, I would say we have the Chamber of Commerce. We also have a major presence with the Yolo County Housing Authority here in Woodland with Donnelly Circle. So I'd certainly want to make sure they were considered. Our homeless operation is out at 102. It's pretty far out, you know, for a local transit service, but we actually have two vans out there. So we're trying to be responsive to their needs as well. I think that's probably more than I need to say at this time, Don. I want to listen like everybody else and let facts make our decisions for us. Thank you.
Very good. Other comments from board members on the questions that Eric has posed or any other topic?
If I can, Mr. Chair, just
please.
Yeah, I think, Tom, your instinct is right, is sort of around getting looking back at what we did with VIA, it wasn't really, there was no set plan, right? We just knew we needed mobility and extra transit. And, the wonderful thing about it is we learned, and we let ourselves learn. And, as you start the process and you get feedback, certainly it helps to get feedback from the community and about what they're seeing currently and how that could inform any changes on not just the micro transit, but the fixed route. Certainly it should. But people will mainly talk with their feet and their wallets, right? They'll start to take things to where they need to go. They'll start to, understand kind of the service and how it could fit or how they can make it fit with their life or shape their lives. And I think that's, not to be, too nostalgic or muddling with my experience with this, was one of the more uplifting parts of the job I've had in the last 12 years, is watch it actually change people's lives when we did VIA. And we didn't ask anybody's opinion whether they needed VIA or not. We just had an instinct, and the data was the ridership drop in West Sac and empty buses, and that was kind of guided us to try it. So My point to you is, Tom, to your last point, like, let the facts speak. I think you'll let the data speak once we start to get it and where people are using it and who uses it. And not try to program it as much until you learn more. I think that would be sort of the guidance that I could give towards this, because I think, people move the way people move, and you'll find, to your point, I know the mall and kind of its current predicament. So you have that instinct, and I think people will start to move and give you the input of where they're going now. So again, I just like to say, I'm looking forward to seeing how this all works out and shakes out as you progress. So, but the questions I think are the right ones. The only thing I'll mention is that the micro chance at 8 a.m. to 5 a.m. We found the biggest riders, or some of the biggest riders in VIA in our world, are young people getting to school. And so if the 8 a.m. start time, if you could learn from that about altering it from, the 7 a.m., that might be worth thinking about. I'm not sure what does to the budget, but, they were a big user, as well as seniors who in the afternoon are trying to get to the supermarket or somewhere else. So anyway, just some of my thoughts, but really looking forward to seeing how this works out.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If I could add one more thing, have responded to Kristen's comments. Steve Jobs said, we're in the business of creating products that people don't even know they need. And, nobody,
would have imagined what the smartphone was before it appeared, and then we all knew we needed it. You know, I've never had a single constituent come up to me and ask for a point-to-point on-demand transit service. Nobody's asked for that. We just know that those of us who like to use Lyft and Uber and other options, what a great option it is to be able to move people point-to-point rather than having to walk for 15 minutes or 20 minutes to get to a bus stop. So I think what I'm saying is we need to take in all that feedback, but we're the ones responsible for watching the direction of transit planning and as it is in the present and future, and make sure we're bringing those advanced ideas to the benefit of our public. So, you know, I feel that's part of our role as leaders. So I want to listen to everybody, but at the same time, I feel as a leader, you know, we're the ones pushing for the on-demand service because we know what a difference it'll make. We learned from West Sacramento what a difference it's made there. Thank you.
Okay. Other board members, and I think at this point, Eric, I think your questions are good. Can we go back to the Hollywood Squares image? Thanks. Any other board member comments?
I do have a quick question, Mr. Chair. I think it's really just a status update, you know, vis-a-vis the County Fair Mall and then also sort of the proposals in the future to, you know, relocate various lines, yellow bus line through downtown and then some sort of a more central transit hub or center or something along those lines. So just the questions are certainly of staff or of potentially Dr. Stallard, like when is that expected to come to fruition? Sort of the specific sort of transit hub or center. And in lieu of that coming to fruition, why can't we reroute those lines rerouted to through downtown Woodland? I mean, does it really need to have the sort of transit center established and built before lines can be moved through? Obviously, you have to have Woodland be supportive of it, but I mean, it seems like it's, I was, been by the County Fair Mall site recently on a bunch of occasions, both in a vehicle, passenger vehicle, and also on the bus. And it's really bad. I feel like that's maybe putting it mildly. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, so just curious about the timing and, you know, I would think Woodland would be interested in having those changes too. And, you know, maybe even before there's a more official, sort of transit established. So curious about that. Thank you.
I'm happy to jump in, but I also want to defer to Tom as well. I would just say from my perspective, the sooner we can make that move, the better. We are no longer looking at actually purchasing a parcel and doing kind of an off-street transit center, which is a very time-consuming process. We're looking at doing a kind of an on-street transit center similar to the one in West Sacramento that, you know, could be done much more quickly. It is, you know, and so my hope is that we can do it fairly soon. To your point, Lucas, you know, I am still new to the job. I don't know anybody on the Woodland City Council other than Tom. I've got to get to know them. I've got to understand where the fault lines are. I love that Tom is enthusiastic and supportive of it. And I want to make sure that that we don't overstep in the wrong direction and, alienate the very people who we think could benefit from this in terms of the local, the downtown businesses and others. I think for us, we want to make sure that we're just going through that process thoughtfully. But I would love to invite, you know, Tom's perspective on that.
Well, I can tell you there, you won't have any problems. This is something that I think will be enthusiastically received by the community. And as you know, from our interaction with Ken Hyatt, our city manager, he feels that way as well. So I think you're pretty solid ground on him. That doesn't mean I wouldn't love for you to get to know every member of our council. And if I can help in any way, you just let me know, please.
And just to piggyback on what Autumn said, we are looking at doing it, you know, a lot faster than originally was decided, but we do need to find a good route that is capable of being done in a safe and meaningful manner. And that's what I think a lot of the planning is going to be you know, in the near future here with that.
So I have a couple comments, I think, that, on these topics. I whatever we do needs to have a financial stability component to it. So we run fixed routes, and that's interesting, but those fixed routes, they cost a certain amount of money. And if we continue to run them and add transit, microtransit, then that's going to cost presumably more money. If we take those fixed routes out, then we're going to potentially, well, we gain some service and some customer satisfaction and perhaps ridership maybe. Those rides are more expensive per capita, and they are, and people cannot, it's difficult to rely on them. So I think I'm not completely sold on this, and unless it's go from one to the other extreme, I think it's got to be a mix and a blend. And that being the case, the planning for the fixed route and the connectivity with the microtransit features, that's a data driven discussion, and one that I think does need both some advanced planning as well as some design thinking that Chris is referring to. Let's give it a try, and if it doesn't work, we can adjust it. Yeah, okay, but we got to have a reasonable working plan to start with that might have some flexibility built into it. I think that the 8-to-5 limitation for microtransit is a problematic. 8-to-5 weekdays only. It really limits the usability of the system. We've experienced that in the winter circumstance, where we know that there are people who, if they want to go to work in Vacaville or go to a doctor's appointment in Davis or vice versa, and they're going to have challenges meeting those specific time commitments with the lack of predictability, the unavailability of the service outside the weekday working times. So I think that there is some work to be done on the time periods after the normal weekday working day traditional. So, but for me, I think I'm excited that this work is going on. I think the interaction between the microtransit thinking and the rerouting and provision of a different approach to transit hub in Woodland. I think there will be some opportunities for improvement when you put all the pieces in together, but they also can be independent, separate kinds of decisions. And if we work toward having it all solved, we may never get anything done. So that I get that. And I think Lucas's point about moving on some parts of it is a good idea. I continue to have just a little bit of yes and thinking on this, that a hub or a spine for the fixed route still seems to me to be a necessity in Woodland. And doing that and adding microtransit has an additional fiscal cost potentially. And I think the board should be aware of that and go forward and know what they're getting themselves into.
If I may, Mr. Chair, you know, basically our Woodland routes are mostly inner city. The 42, the 215 out to the casino, the one that goes to Knight's Landing, the Woodland, and, you know, I mean, so these inner city routes, we're going to be a bus reliant community, which is a good thing because we have so many inner city options for our people. But the only two local routes that I can think of are the 211 and the 212, you know, and so it isn't a horribly complex problem. You know, we watch them and their ridership as we implement point-to-point transit and see what happens and what the needs are. I wanted to know, I agree with you about the 8-to-5 issue, but I think, again, facts are going to make the decisions for us. And the wonderful thing about point-to-point is, we don't know how many we have to have on at any given time. And we could have some start at
at 7 in the morning, and they go off duty after their 8-hour shift, and others come on at 10 and stay till 6, you know, something like that, because we're talking about multiple vehicles as opposed to singular buses. So anyway, I think it's a pretty exciting time, and that 42 success story just shows what happens when you really apply a little intelligence to the issue. I mean, there may be another factors, but 10,000 additional trips, that's pretty impressive as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
Yeah, whenever we make a change in operations or even schedule, somebody who's used to something is going to be, you know, well, now I have to change everything in my life to be able to be there 15 minutes earlier and go 1,000 feet further to get the connection. So let's say that 80% of the people who want to point the on-demand service are going from the same origin point to the same destination. Would we continue to provide that as a point-to-point service, or would we say, well, maybe that would be an opportunity to improve fixed route service with greater reliability? I think there is, I think we shouldn't fall in love with any idea. We should let all of them play out.
It's wise counsel, but we're likely to have our biases, you know, or our instincts thinking that one direction might be helpful. Anyway, but data at the end of the day is the answer. I think of the South Davis issue. Imagine if you had a point-to-point service as a backup in Davis, at taking people to the regional bus. If they want to catch the bus to Sacramento, the point-to-point gets them to where they can get on that bus. So that kind of flexibility is what I see as possible as we move into this realm that West Sacramento has pioneered.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that point. I think that having a spine that works and connecting points of, you know, zooms, the little scooters, God bless them, and whatever other bit of detritus we want to arm our streets with, we can do that and get the people from place to place, including point to point on-demand transit. All right, Matt, you've been holding your tongue. You have anything you want to add to this mix? All right, Jesse, anything you'd like to add? Okay, Autumn, thank you very much. Eric, do you have what you need for this? I mean, did you get what you wanted? You got some board comments? And
Chair, this is exactly the kind of discussion I was hoping to have, and I really appreciate the board taking the time tonight to have this discussion, because it is very helpful, and I really appreciate all of the assistance on this.
You are really a masochist, my friend. Now, let's see. Do we have any public comments on this before we move to the next topic?
We do not have any public comments.
Okay, thank you. That brings us, I think the next one is item 8, the branding.
It is, and I will just, I'm going to let, Christopher is going to take this item, but I think this is his first time presenting to the board, even though he's been doing yeoman's work for close to a year now. So I just wanted to just welcome him to his first presentation to the board and be nice to him.
Okay. Okay, you got that, guys?
I would appreciate it. Thank you, Autumn. But good evening, everyone. For those who don't know me, my name is Christopher Kwan Lee. I'm the Communications and Marketing Specialist for YCTD. And tonight I'll be talking to you all a little bit about branding. But I'm sure as leaders for many different organizations yourself, you understand the importance of branding. For me, as a communication professional, branding is important because it helps distinguish an organization from others in the same space. It can also make an organization memorable, builds credibility and trust, which I feel like as a public agency is very important. And most importantly, it will inspire our, you know, stakeholders and our community to come together, join us on our journey and achieve our mission. For many years now, the Yellow Bus brand has served as the YCTD brand. This was fine when YCTD was concentrating on providing public transit to our community. However, as we grow to provide more than just public transit, and encompasses other things such as multimodal projects and other transportation needs for our community, our branding should evolve as well. This is why tonight I'm presenting two potential logos for everyone to review, provide feedback, and hopefully approve of one of them so we can move forward with establishing a brand identity and also establishing a style guide for future things for YCT projects, such as the launch of the YCT website, among other projects. So let's go ahead and review those two logos now. So this is the first logo design. It's simple, it's typography. And I won't say too much about it. I would rather get your genuine reactions on it. This is the first logo design. And then let's go ahead and show the second one, and we can go back to, you know, either or. And this is the second logo design that that we have been working on. This one's more about the maps, the Yolo, you know, of Yolo County and, you know, the four different cities that YCTD serves. So I'll let that marinate with you all for a little bit, and we can open it up for some discussions. And thank you.
Christopher, thank you. I was wondering who this guy Brandon is that you wanted to talk about, but now I realize it's branding that you are interested in. So that's good. That's much better. I appreciate the topic. So colleagues, you want to go back and forth a little bit, Christopher, just show us the two images. I suppose that they would sort of amplify into a little bit different images. Whichever one was to take the case. Okay. All right. How about just reactions, colleagues? Anybody want
to? I'll start, Don, please. If that's okay.
Yes, please.
Thank you. And I will miss your sense of humor. I'm not sure how you got Brandon from Brandine, but I will miss your sense of humor on these meetings. But first of all, Christopher, this is, in general, just really good work. I know you've been with us for a year, and you can already start to see, the visual changes representation of YCTD and kind of the Yolo Bus brand even along. We've started that journey to a degree about rebranding ourselves just by branding Yolo Go, branding the new services we have. So we've endeavored, I would say, as a board. This is why I like this board, because we've challenged ourselves a little bit to think beyond just Yolo Bus as I would categorize what Yolo Bus was, just a fixed route service, right? And the public bus service. But we are endeavoring onto new things, and I think it's the appropriate time to start stating YCTE or White Yolo Transportation District, whatever the branding is, it's the right thing to do. And, because it is, we are venturing out for the district wears a bigger hat, and I like the bigger hat. We wear it well. And I think some of the branding around this is really good. I'm a little drawn to the first, not this one, that one, yeah. A little bit, because my little bit of branding background, Christopher, is around being able to create brands and sub brands, right? And how everything should connect. This does have some, not just color scheme, but font or visually, it kind of can relate to the Yolo Bus. Which I don't think you're saying you're going to get rid of Yolo Bus off the buses. But this is that there's some connection there, and there should be. I think it's directionally kind of going where I think it should go. I'm not immune to the second one. Not that I have to live with it, because I won't be around, but the second one that kind of shows the map and it brings in the Yolo County. I do like having the Yolo County, there, because I think people are starting to steal YOLO for other uses across American vernacular, what that means. But again, having YOLO County there is something that I'm attracted to. I'm not sure if I have to pick between one of the visual logos, it would be the one on the right, far right of the, I'm sorry, of the previous one with the county and the circle. Again, the freestanding county signature just doesn't, I think it'd be hard to replicate in places, to be honest. But anyway, I do like the effort. I'm probably drawn to the first one that you had up earlier is because it does have some connectedness to in any one of the freestanding text logo or in the primary logos. It kind of stands on its own. But anyway, those are some thoughts. I just want to say really good job to you.
Thank you, Chris. Other comments, colleagues?
I really appreciate this, and I think frequently I'll tell people I'm going to the YCTD meeting, and they say, "What do you mean?" And I say, "Oh, you mean it's Yola Bus?" And I say, "Oh yeah, Yola Bus. You're going to the Yola Bus meeting." So I think having this conversation is great, and pointing out, you know, right away your Yolo Transportation District there in the middle doesn't have the word county. So I'm interested, was that a conversation that evolved as you were working on this, and it, you know, the intentionality of that and the pros and cons? So some of those kind of questions would be good for us to hear more of your thinking. And I have other questions, but that's my first one on that. You know, why CTD to YTD? And yeah, your thinking on that.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to answer that. I feel like for me, especially living in the time that we do now where everything's a little bit more fast paced, where, you know, people want to hear things a little bit more catchy, saying YCTD is kind of a mouthful. So kind of piggybacking on, like, you know, the 2015 trend of YOLO, right? And then adding on that to, like, this idea of, hey, let's shorten it. Let's make sure that we are known as the YOLO Transportation District, right? So, I feel like that, you know, allows it to not only sound better for us as an agency, but also become more recognizable, right? With here too, it builds for like, it builds the foundation for future branding as well. So we already have YOLO Bus, for example, right? Now we have YOLO Transportation District. What else can we add to that, right? So what's our next future product, right? So we can add YOLO and add whatever the next product might be, right? Whether it's, well, like, for example, YOLO Go, what's one of the idea behind that, right? So I feel like dropping the county and, like, in, you know, making sure that this is its own kind of thing, its own, you know, the district is its own individual brand, is why it's a thinking behind that.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And does YCTD right now, do we have a logo that's kind of separate from the YOLO Bus logo?
No, we do not.
Okay.
If I could make a comment, Matt, I think that's a very interesting, I think you're rifled in on a very important part of this branding exercise. There we have, in the last few years, the YOLO County Housing Authority changed its name and its branding to simply YOLO Housing Authority. And the one of the things that really sort of highlighted is that that agency, the YOLO Housing Authority, is not a subsidiary of YOLO County government. It is a standalone agency. It just happened to it serves areas outside of YOLO County as well. It does have residential facilities in Solano County as well as in YOLO County, and so that changing of that was an interesting brand. I think of our sister agencies in Solano County, there's the Solano Transportation Authority. And in Sacramento County, there's the Sacramento Transportation Authority. So it's sort of an interesting thing. And it makes some sense, actually kind of appeals to me, to be honest.
And I'm fully supportive. I just wanted to hear the thinking that went into that. Yeah. Yeah. And the first version is more appealing to me than the second version. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great progress.
Other comments? Mr. Frericks, do you have any thoughts on this?
Sure, Mr. Chair. A couple things. Firstly, Christopher, appreciate all the work on this. I will say though, you know, as opposed to the 2015 YOLO fad that was previously mentioned. We are, of course, the original YOLO. So, I mean, like, you know, we're talking back to, you know, at least 1850, if not before. So anyway, just want to, you know, we got to make sure that that's comes through in all of our branding. No, all kidding aside, things. One, I do think that, I totally agree with the need for sort of some sort of a separate, first of all, updated branding or logo. That's first and foremost. I put up behind me the you know, my favorite vintage 1970s shag carpet YOLO bus logo, which probably outlived its useful life, you know, about 20-some, 30 years. And then before it was changed, well, relatively recently. So I'm glad that that's happened. I personally do like the map version better. If I was going to pick something, I think also I would say that the previous slide that has the YOLO TD logo looks pretty similar to TD Waterhouse. I mean, the sort of, you know, financial company, and especially the green part, that's literally their color, I think. So anyway, just that is something that immediately came to mind. And then one quick question for you all. I mean, how, aside from internal workshopping with yourselves, and now it's ostensibly more internal workshopping with us, which are still ourselves, how much external sort of, or any, you know, focus groups, discussion with anybody outside of the organization has occurred? I would really appreciate hearing a little bit about that. Thanks.
I can jump in on that, Chris, if you want. None is the answer. This has really been an internal exercise, and driven in part by all the things we talked about, but also that we are launching now a YCTV website that will complement the YOLO Bus website. And so this is, in part to kind of inform the design of that. You know, this is kind of one of those things where, you know, Chris did all of this in-house. You know, this could be we could spend a lot of money and a lot of time on consultants to help us with branding. And, you know, we sort of just decided to kind of just plunge in. But definitely would love to, you know, hear if there's, you know, thoughts on, you know, having a bit more of a robust process around that. We're certainly open to it.
I guess, thanks for that. I appreciate it. I don't think that there has to be some big external, you know, especially consultants and all these other things. Like, just, I think when we have, you know, expertise and, you know, and background, you know, in various backgrounds on staff, like, I think that's fine. I do think, though, that it could benefit from some, you know, some sort of workshopping, you know, socializing with others. I mean, I think that, you know, there are a variety of other agencies that we work with, that have, sort of marketing/branding type folks on their staffs. I mean, it could, you know, be good to have those, I mean, just like sort of, you take both sets of these logos and sort of, you know, make sure that there are additional sets of eyes on them. And I think there's probably, not just on the agency side too, but there's folks in that and that do that work, you know, in the region, and they probably are willing to, provide us some, feedback on it. So, I mean, I definitely think it's, I mean, I don't feel like some new effort has to place, not in the least. But I do think it, you know, as anything, you know, bit of external sort of socializing is probably not a bad thing. Thanks.
Okay, Jesse, any comments?
Yeah, Christopher, it's really nice to meet you in person after working with you through the internet. But I wanted to just make some comments on the logo. The YOLO TD to me seems like I don't really know what that is. Like, the logo doesn't really say to me, kind of what it is. So I'm not really in love with that. I will say that I just came out of being on the board of California League of Cities, which is now Cal Cities, who just rebranded themselves in their name. And, that was a really fun process with, you know, 400 cities or what have you. Can we go to the second? Bank of images. So the one to me that stands out the most and says transportation, multimodal, and you know, where we are is that third one with the circle. I think it says a lot. I think it says that we're, you know, regional, but then we're interregional. And I just think that's really rich, and there's a lot there. And if I were to choose, that would be the one that I would want on my t-shirt, my hat, my bag, and on the bus.
Chair Sandler, if I could.
Yeah, Matt.
My impression of this logo that's shown here is it graphically tells me how small the transportation effort is in comparison to the geographic size of the county. So I'd want other folks to think, you know, is that, and I'm not a graphical person, I'm just, it just looks to me like, oh, it's a tiny little effort inside something bigger. It doesn't graphically jump out to me as prominent and of a large scale. It sort of is diminutive in its scale of like what it's trying to communicate. So I wonder graphically if it is the best attempt to put forward the district and our ambition and our exuberance.
So if I could, I think we've heard some comments from everybody. I think
we're. You haven't.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Go ahead.
No. First of all, I appreciate the discussion. This is always a difficult topic for groups because we all have different aesthetic senses. And am I still with you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel the shape of the county is so irrelevant. You know, and most of us are wonks know the shape of Yolo County, but I think most people haven't a clue really. And so I don't think that's, it's terribly relevant. I do agree that it's sort of diminutive. I also think it's rather busy, to look at and to understand what it's trying to communicate. I tend to favor the first group. I mean, I think, like a really clean looking logo, minimal logo is easier to use, is more, more functional. I happen to like the colors. I've never seen that other one that Lucas referenced, but anyway, I think YOLO TD stacked horizontal is shown on the top is nice and clean. I would prefer something like that. I don't know. I guess YOLO Go was rejected. I don't know why, because I thought that was a fairly good moniker for the fact that we're all about movement. So I like that idea as an umbrella name. I do think it's great to take the reference of the county out of the name of the district, simply because people confuse us with Yolo County, as Don was saying earlier. That's been going on for years. They think we're a department of Yolo County. So I think for clarity, it would be good no longer to have that. So I tend to favor the first set of logos as the option. I really do like that top one on the left. That's my opinion. You know, it makes me think, maybe we all need this to percolate more on this and have a second go around and maybe let staff think about it and maybe take some of those thoughts to heart and do something with them. Thank you.
That's I think exactly where I think we're headed. And I really appreciate Tom, your last comments. And I think Lucas's suggestion of doing some consultation with some of our colleagues, and then we can probably suggest who they might be, but I think it wouldn't hurt for us to make our final decision on your recommendations. Christopher, you've heard from us. I think you could probably boil down either some additional options or a recommendation with some consultation. You might want to present to us what some of our sister agencies are using for their logos. So Solano Transportation Authority, the one in Santa Clara area. I think it's called Valley Transportation Authority, which we are more like than many others, as Autumn has pointed out often. And just just give us a sense of what are some of the additional approaches that people are taking here. I think this is a very, you've sparked our interest and our curiosity, and we're starting to think now about the branding and what it means, because it means more than just a picture on a page. And I think you've done that. And maybe come back at the next meeting or even one after that to give us some additional insights and your recommendations. Now, Autumn, if that makes sense to the two of you, then would that be an okay path to follow here?
Mr. Chair, we do have a public comment. I just want to point out before we close this item. Looks like someone wants to make public comment.
Okay, well, fine. I'm sorry. Let's hear the public comment.
Hi, this is Alan Hirsch. I have an MBA in marketing, a couple courses on this stuff. Branding is supposed to be contribute to your mission, to your vision, to your values, and convey that. So does the round ball, does the map of the county convey to our a mobility, of equity, of environmental sustainability? Do those symbols convey to that? I'm wondering whether that really is going on, especially mobility. And also you have there's two knobs you're turning. One kind of renaming the organization and also the symbol you use around it. So those are two moving parts here that can basically, you may want to dissect that separately. I know the logo will kind of drive the name of the thing, but I think you want to do that too. And if you put up the map of Yolo County again, that logo with the map of Yolo County, if you look at that and you look at the spike sitting down there and the big blob on top, you look at that blob.
Let's just hear the comment.
Yeah. Well, visualization is 92% of communication, Don. I know you don't. That symbol there, if you look at it, we're talking about visual things here. So if you look at that logo there, it looks like a gun to me. That's my reaction to it. So maybe not, but it kind of evokes that to me a little bit. I like the rolling ball because it's motion, but maybe we can put some blur marks or make that a leaning forward or something that can be motion in the first logo with LTD. Can you use the rolling, the roundness to do that? And maybe the two O's in YOLO can be used for motion. I don't know, just for creativity. There's some wild ideas, but I think you should dissect the name of the organization from the symbol you use and use the symbols to convey the values you want to convey. Mobility, sustainability, efficiency, safety. Somehow, if you can come up symbols that kind of evoke those sorts of things. I hope that's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. Okay. So, Autumn, I think you've heard from us. You feel like you've got a path forward.
Yeah, I think Chris and I'll connect tomorrow and we'll figure out how to bring this back to you. And I really appreciate all the comments and feedback.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have another item? I think we've concluded our topics for the evening, haven't we?
We have.
All right. Then our next meeting is December the 13th. What is the next meeting date?
December 12th.
December 12th. Very good. Thank you, everyone, for a productive meeting. It's been a wide-ranging and interesting discussion on all topics. See you all just on December 12th. Except for you, Mr. Ledesma, you're off.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Chris.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.